From the friendly confines of the KentuckyCrazies.com studios, located in the heart of the Big Blue Planet.
Listen up.
It's time to talk all things Kentucky Crazy.
Listen up.
With your hosts, listen Mike up. Hicks and Aaron Newton. People are crazy.
Okay, Kentucky Crazies, here we are, number 32 podcast, and KY Crazy Aaron, at KY Crazy Aaron on Twitter is sitting here to my left. How's it going?
Yeah, don't forget the at part.
Yes, for all the Twitterverse people.
The little whatever symbol that's called, looks like an A with a little circle around
is,
it.
Then. Is it the appersand?
I don't know.
I think that's what it is. Well,
it's the at symbol.
Aaron Newton is your God-given name, and on the God-given Twitter name, you're at KY Crazy Aaron. Of course, you can find us at Kentucky Crazies. And brand new for all of you listeners out there, we have a new phone number. You can call the blue phone, and we can take your cat calls at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287. And all you need to do is call in, leave a message, leave a question, anything that you want to talk about or you want us to talk about. We'll put it right here on our next podcast, and we're excited about that.
Call the number on screen right now.
You can't see all the balloons and confetti that just, you know, are flying through the air right now for our big celebration release party there.
Yeah, that was like a big step for us, because we always want to pull in people, and this way we can have that interaction. And any questions you have, it can be about anything. You know, what did Aaron have for lunch yesterday, or or what did you think about the game, or just even if you want to call in and just show us how crazy of a cat fan you are, you can do that too.
It kind of feels like the remember at the Democratic convention with the ball of balloons. It's kind of what it feels like in here right now.
Yeah, I felt like Hillary kind of wigging out, looking at everything. So yeah, I'm glad I'm kicking
Bill Clinton kicking the balloons around.
So yeah, once again, 859-780. I'll say it right this time. 859-780-CATS, and that's 2287 for cats. So give us a call, and we'll be happy to put those on the air and talk about it. Something a little different we're going to do on this podcast. We're going to do kind of a rapid fire sequence, maybe 2 minutes per topic. Because, Aaron, there's been, you know, quite a few things coming down the pipe this week. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and start the timer.
Uh-oh.
And the first topic, okay, here we go.
I'm sweating.
Yeah, is, and I started it. So right now, let's see, South Carolina win.
I'm so nervous.
Yeah. It's, heck, it's a podcast 32. Yeah, you got to get a little nervous. South Carolina win, 17-10.
Huge win. I mean, it's a game we had to have. It seems like now every game is, they label as Stoops' most important game of his career, except for the game coming up this week. And, you know, we're not going to label that as such. But, you know, it's kind of true at this point. He's kind of gotten himself in that hole where a lot of games are must wins now, or he and we in general as a program are in some trouble.
What were some of your takeaways, some positive things that you saw in the win?
I believe the defense was much, much improved. Now, whether that's because South Carolina's offense is not a very good team. They had a freshman quarterback who he's very athletic, and he's probably going to be a good player. But, you know, that they're a little lower on the offensive scale is what we're going to see in some future games. But regardless, the defense looked better. What impressed me the most was a big change in game tackling. Instead of having a lot of solo tackles or little trips here and there to make a tackle, we have 3, 4, 5 guys making the tackle. You know, every not every play. You know, for the most part, you know, we had I can't speak right now. You're going to have to edit that out.
That's okay. We'll leave it in because we only have 30 seconds left. Go. Well, I was going to ask you, like, did we go through the motions better? Like, you know, obviously maybe their talent level, we can't really you know, analyze that based upon some of their inefficiencies, but were we going through the right motions?
I think the techniques were much better. I'm going to say Stoops has had a little bit heavier hand in the defense right now, and you can see a little more urgency in the defense. The offense is still great. The running backs are phenomenal. I know Will last week said he would be surprised to see 230 yards rushing, and we were right on that, about 220.
Okay, well, hear the timer.
Gosh, dang it. And Boom himself had 123 yards, averaged 8.2 yards a carry.
I'll give you 15 more seconds if you want.
Well, that's just a crazy number, averaging over 8 yards a carry.
How did the quarterback do? I know we talked about it with Will Marshall from ACOBlue.com.
He managed the game well. You know, still he had one interception, but, you know, in 19 attempts, 11 for 19, 135 yards. We won the game. He made some great plays in the red zone. You know, he rushed for a touchdown. He makes good decisions right now, so I'm happy with that.
Good deal. I'm happy with the W, and I'm going to start the timer. Topic number two. Alabama game coming up. It's a 7 o'clock Eastern Saturday night on ESPN.
I don't know if it's a good spot to have Alabama or not. You know, we had a big win against South Carolina. I almost hate to go down there and take a bad beating and lose some of that confidence. But again, maybe we're high right now, and if we go down there and not necessarily win the game, but have a good showing. You know, if the spread is 35, if we keep the spread, you know, if we keep the, I'd say within 3 touchdowns, to me that's a win.
Well, you know, I think that's a good point. Coming off of a win against South Carolina will put us in a good frame of mind, at least going into the game. And, you know, it kind of works in your favor when you're not expected to win against a behemoth that is, you know, Alabama. So I go back to what I was saying with South Carolina. As long as we go through the right motions, and that means we're getting better and sustaining some of the good things that we're doing.
I mean, we're definitely going to have to rely on a running game. I'm not sure if we'll be able to run the ball like we did. Well, I know we won't. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen against Alabama. This is a big game for Johnson. We'll see how he manages this game. You know, I don't believe we're going to be able to throw the ball around, but we're going to have to do some things different against an Alabama. You know, anytime you're going for the big upset, you've got to pull some tricks out of the bag. You know, you're going to do some trick plays and you know, things out of the norm for yourself in order to accomplish that goal.
Well, I think that's going to be what I'm looking at more than anything, is to see how Johnson responds, because he's already doing some things that nobody expected. And so in that type of environment where it's big-time TV against the program, we'll see a lot of what he's made of. If he doesn't produce that much, I mean, it's not going to be like the end of the world type scenario. But if he's able to do some stuff in that environment, then that means we're out of time on that topic. So, okay, that's our little signal. Okay, so shifting gears. Now, what's the point spread on that game before?
35. It started as a 31, and it's been bet up to a 35-point favorite for Alabama.
Okay, now we're going to start the timer, and now we're going to move into some controversy that was going on Saturday. Stoops controversy, basically. Can you tell us about a little bit of what you know on that?
Well, supposedly before the I'm not sure at what exact time this had come out, but some new blogger who wanted to make a name for himself put out some rumors, I guess you'd say. I don't think anything was ever substantiated, but supposedly he says a former UK player had made some allegations against Stoops about extramarital affairs and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And it really fired Stoops up. Apparently fired some of the players up. You know, Matt Elam, for one, said, I don't recall his exact quote, but, you know, that they're going to go to battle for Stoops. They're behind him.
Wasn't there even, like, a part of the allegation that he may be fired the next day?
They were talking about, I think, even before the game or during the game, you know, maybe during the game. Who knows? I don't remember exactly, but you know, stuff like that. Like I said, this guy, he was a brand new blogger. He was trying to make a name for himself. He thought he had some information, so you can't really blame him for that. But you better verify your sources a little bit better.
When you make that type of allegation, you better have every dot over an I and every, what's the phrase? T crossed
and your I's dotted.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. The only thing I can say about that as far as the blogger part of it, I can understand part of this. We live, you know, like in the technical world that we have now. I don't think people fully grasp the power that a blog might have or a text message might have. And, you know, that's something that people deal with, like, on a personal level a lot. But whenever he posted that, I want to give him a little bit of a benefit of a doubt, because he may not have been aware of the impact that something like that could have had on the program. And it's a big time learning lesson for him. We got the timer going here. But I think for the rest of us, you know, whether you're a blogger or a fan, what you say matters, you know. So this guy's got a family. This guy's got, you know, a job. He's got a career. So just think about a little bit what you're doing there.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to verify this guy was giving his name or his blog site because, it, well, for one, the blog is down. But, you know, I don't pay into that. You know, where I just don't see you giving him credence for any of that at all. And if you want to look it up, it's out there. You can investigate yourself, but it happened.
Yeah, well, he's done. I mean, as far as whatever his attempt, oh, yeah, whatever he's trying to do. You know, and I don't have a judgment on his motive, but at the end of the day, you can't post something like that without it being 100%. Because, again, that's a man's livelihood that we're talking about. Now, granted, well, you know, that's enough on that. Our timer is already up. But that was some – glad we came away with the W despite all that crap that was going on out there.
And that may be a unifying thing. I know I'm out of time, but that may be a unifying thing as well for this team.
Okay, and I'm going to start the timer again, and we're going to move on to It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Big Blue Madness is upon us, almost, but the Tent City has, you know, got the tent set up. And this morning, we're recording this on Wednesday, and this morning they jumped the road and put up their tents. And it was, I always love it because it's like some kind of battleground, like we're getting ready to go to war or something, which we are, of course. And Big Blue Nation got all their tents. And now this year is a little different because there is a some construction going on. And so they've had to move part of where you normally would be into a lot. And Coach Cal sent out a picture this morning of the lot. And we had about four or five pretty good-sized tents out there. But there was a whole lot of empty space. And I think, you know, it's concrete.
Yeah.
So unless you have a nice bed that you want to put down there, I can understand why people, at least this early in the game, don't want to lay on concrete, though, no. Tom.
Yeah, I've never done it at my age and conditions, and I don't think I would want to do it. But I have been to a Big Blue Madness event, and it was a lot of fun. It was back in the Tubby time, but I don't think I'd be camping out. I'm just not in that condition.
Didn't we get put on the Jumbotrons when we were up there for that? That was
we may have. You know, we're pretty famous for that kind of
stuff. We had the blue wigs. I'm pretty sure we got put on camera. I can't remember if it was for that or for something else. But yeah, Big Blue Madness coming up. That's always, you know, obviously it's for the fans. Not a lot of practice or anything goes on, but that's okay. And but Tent City has been set up, and everybody, you know, the players are going to come out and they're going to give them pizza and all that stuff. It's really just a nice warming up to what's coming, you know.
It is, and it kind of shows the incoming freshmen as well how crazy our fans are.
Yeah, exactly right, because I don't think they have a clue.
Stop
until
talking.
We got the timer going on. All right, now we're going to change gears.
Uh-oh.
And we're going to go to CoachCal.com put out a practice report. Mertz Canfield, if I'm saying that correctly. Hope it's right out there, Mertz. M-E-R-T-Z, Mertz. Hertz with an M.
He's not listening anyway.
He is. he is now. They said his name wrong. Anyway, he posted some observations that were from him on the website. And this is how the players are matching up. Bam and Isaac Humphries are matched up against each other. Kelia Jones, Ty Winyard, Wenyon Gabriel, Derek Willis, Monk, and Dom, and Fox, and Briscoe. And so they're all going head-to-head.
That's a good game to watch right there. I would really be interested to see the Winyard. Who'd you say, Jones?
Well, it's Wenyon and Willis.
Oh, who is Winyard?
Wenyon Gabriel and Derek Willis.
No, Ty Winyard.
Okay. Wenyon and Winyard. My bad. Kenya Jones and Ty.
So Jones and Winyard.
Yeah.
I would like to see that matchup because we haven't really seen the Winyard do anything.
Right.
And we know Jones is pretty athletic. So that, to me, that would be an interesting matchup. I don't see where Humphries, unless he's improved a lot in his body and strength, having much to do with Bam, because Bam is just a monster.
I don't see anybody containing Bam.
No.
Matter of fact, I'll read a little bit of what Mertz put there. It said, talking about Bam, because he hadn't been on the court much because of his...
this is really his first appearance.
His high ankle sprain. But Adebayo gets off the ground effortlessly. He not only does not look like a freshman, he doesn't play like a freshman. The amount of space Adebayo takes up on the court swallows the paint. Obviously, he has the strength to establish position consistently, and he can back his way down towards the basket. So basically, he goes on to say that, you know, Bam was up and down the court. He's not only big and strong, but he's quick, and he's able. I think the biggest takeaway from the entire piece there is he can guard the one. He can switch. Mm-hmm. You know how good Willie was on that. And
Willie wasn't 6'10", well, he was over 6'10", but he wasn't 255 pounds of pure muscle like this. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, different specimens. And to be able to have that skill, to be able to get out on the guard, you know, from the five. So if Humphries is in there, Bam's probably at the four. But, you know, having him at the five where he can switch off on the guards, I think is just ridiculous.
And another matchup I really liked was our guards up front. Dom guarding Monk. As we know, Dom is a defensive, you know, specialist. He's a bulldog. And Briscoe against Fox, I mean, they're just going to make each other better. Especially Fox, I see Briscoe guarding him, really developing him a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I think this year, as far as, like, the guys making each other better, I think we're going to see more of that this year than we did last year, because I think we're deeper talent-wise in all the quote-unquote, like, off-the-bench scenarios, you know, when you go down that list. Now, you know, Wynyard is the great mystery. We don't know exactly. We've seen some overseas clips and stuff. But other than him, we know pretty much what all these guys are able to bring.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, they're
head-to-head.
Except
for the new Humphries. You know, supposedly he's developed his body. So I really liked Humphries last year. So I'm looking forward to seeing. And hopefully he gets on the court. This team is going to be so fast that I'm afraid Humphries is going to be the one left behind. And I hope that's not the case.
I'm hoping it's not, too, because I really like him. And like you said, this is the new Humphrey, so we'll see what he's able to bring. I forgot to start the timer, by the way. But
I thought we went a little long, but it's basketball. We can do that.
Yeah, we can go along on that.
And Humphrey does have a pretty singing voice.
I
had to throw that in there.
Absolutely. And once again, forgot to bring it up, we've got the cat calls number here, 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287.
Yeah, you may have heard the phone ringing there. I believe that was somebody calling in there.
Basically, just call in, leave a message. We'll put you on the next show. Ask a question, whatever it is you want to do. Just call us to let you know. Let us know you're out there, and we'll put your voice on the next podcast. So make sure you do that. All right. So our next topic down the list here is
little brother.
News came out today that within about a week or so, we gonna know what the NCAA has decided.
We already know all the particulars in the case, and it's really going to be interesting. That apparently they have to. Rumor is that Louisville is going to have to admit that they hired the prostitutes.
All the dirty details.
Yeah, so we're going to know. Yeah, so we're going to know what the sanctions are. Basically, you know, did Louisville do enough to themselves? You know, the poor kids last year that couldn't play in the tournament because of what their previous, players had done.
Right, exactly. Punish the ones that didn't do anything. that's what Louisville does. Take care of yourself, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, bottom line here is fans that are out there, you know, we justified or not, we have every program has some sordid past, but we get really tired of the Louisville fans just constantly, Kentucky's the program that cheats, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? Now you're the ones that have to admit to paying prostitutes to have relations with recruits and their fathers, okay? That's you. That's you.
And how much worse can that get? I mean, good Lord. I mean, compare that to North Carolina. They're both pretty bad in completely different aspects of the arena, I guess you'd say. But North Carolina still got swept under the rug. You know, nothing really happened there that I can see. But I really believe Louisville's going to get hit pretty hard with this.
Well, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but it's the bottom line is they did it. Everybody knows it, so shut up.
Yeah.
You know?
And look what's happened with the whole administration since then. It's just constant turmoil.
Well, it's scandal you, basically. And what you said, how involved this is, whenever this news broke, I think I maybe mentioned to you, I said, if we had a magic wand, we wouldn't have made it as bad as it was, no. Like even like out of being vindictive or anything like that. I wouldn't have wished that on, as much as I don't like Louisville, the players last year, you know, I wouldn't have wished that scenario on them at all. Those kids gave everything they had.
Maybe a few of them I'd wished it on.
Hey, there's...
mainly the coach.
There's our timer. Yeah, so my guess is going to be they're going to release that news at 4 or 5 o'clock on Friday when everybody's driving home from work. And that's how they released it. About a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Katina Powell book news. All right, so shifting gears.
Oh, big news too. Chuck Hayes. We've got to mention Chuck Hayes. He did sign a deal with the Denver Nuggets. I'm not sure what the job details
were. Front office,
yeah. Who, you know, whatever. He played basketball, signed him for front office, you know.
Yeah.
I know in the past Rex Chapman was worked for the Denver Nuggets. So Chuck Hayes is probably my number two all time. You know, right behind, I've got Sam Bowie, Chuck Hayes. To me, that's one and two.
Chuck might be my favorite one of all time. I'd have to really think about that, but he's right there. And congratulations to Chuck out there whenever he was inducted into the Kentucky Hall of Fame. His speech got me emotional.
Me as well.
From the heart, that guy is true blue Wildcat, and he gave every ounce of what he had and left it on the court. And it breaks my heart. That's, people ask, you know, talk about the 92 game, and of course that broke everybody's heart. But the 92 game and the 05 Chuck Hayes senior year, missing the Final Four Michigan State game, those are the two times that I cried the most as a fan. I cried.
I was at that game against Michigan State, and Chuck sitting on the bench when the game was over in tears. You know, I was in tears as well with him. And I did. I teared up a little bit watching his speech. You know, when he was talking about his relationship with Josh Carrier and Ravi Moss. You know, two guys that aren't the big-time players you hear of, but, you know, here is Chuck Hayes, who played in the NBA for I don't know how long. It's a lot longer than what
11
he should have.
10, 11 years.
And he became so close with these guys. And
their family.
Their family, and their family. And he talked about Josh Carrier's mom's cooking, the best cooking he ever had. Yeah, you know, it was good stuff. And you really see how these guys can carry on relationships for years from what they developed there.
That's what Big Blue Nation is all about. And you can find that video, of course, on KentuckyCrazies.com. We've got that full speech, and it's awesome. So check that out. And I think we're about done here. And like I said, it's all about family. And right now, if you're out there in Tent City listening to us, spread the word. Let people know about our podcast. And again, you can call right now if you're in a tent at 859-780-CATS. And you got something there?
Yeah, we did have one more bit of news on the football side. Mikael Horton decided to transfer. He's kind of become the number four back in a very jammed up running back position with Snell really developing and you know, that's kind of the way it is. You know, we see it with basketball where you kind of recruit over people over and over again, and that's really what you want. You know, I hate it for Horton because supposedly he had some big moments last year, and he was supposed to be a good running back. You know, he's supposed to be the big bruiser that Snell is now, but you can't take Snell off the field. I would love to see him and Boom on the field at the same time in some situations.
I think the future might be bright with those guys.
But the sad thing is I saw a lot of, you know, how these, quote, fans are. Calling him a quitter, and you know, I can't stand that stuff. The kid wants to better himself. You can't fault him for wanting to play somewhere. If it's not going to be at Kentucky, God bless him wherever he goes.
This is family. So, all right. Hey, let's win a game Saturday against Alabama.
Let's do it.
Let's shock the world.
Let's do it.
I believe.
The only bad thing is if we do it, that may move Louisville up to number one.
Go Bama. Go Cats. We'll see you next time on the KentuckyCrazies.com podcast. Until the next time, stay crazy, Kentucky.
Follow us on Twitter at KentuckyCrazies. And find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/KentuckyCrazies. KentuckyCrazies.com.
Listen up.
You people are crazy.